You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Liam Dillon covers politics and policy for the LA Times. He's been following the many approaches to relieving the state's housing crisis. He spoke with KALW's Ben Trefney.
So we just heard about the campaign to get this split roll initiative on the ballot. But last week, the campaign announced that if the initiative qualifies for the ballot, then they're going to postpone the vote until 2020. Why did they do that?
Well, that's a good question. You'll have to ask them for their real reason for it. But I think from a political analysis perspective, I think there's a number of reasons why it might be in their advantage to do that. First, you're likely to get with a presidential campaign going a higher turnout, which tends generally to benefit some tax measures, which this certainly is a large one. So that's one reason. Another reason is that sort of some complicated rules surrounding California ballot measures that say that if you were to qualify an initiative sort of early on in the campaign season, which this would be for 2020, you get a higher placement on the ballot. And so the order in which you sort of residents will see this this measure compared to others would be higher up. Additionally, there's a lot of reasons for this. Additionally, there's a lower threshold for the number of signatures that you would have to gather, most likely, because that threshold that the state sets is based on turnout in gubernatorial races. And it's almost certain that there will be a higher turnout in this coming year's gubernatorial race than there was in the last one where Jerry Brown was running as an incumbent. And so that means if you need less signatures, that means it costs less to get the signatures you need to get on the ballot. And I think lastly, by doing it this way, it allows for negotiations over this measure to occur for 2 years now. I mean, you're going to have the next governor having to talk about it because it could well be on the ballot and sort of really enter it into the political space in ways that had they waited longer to gather signatures, it would have been harder to do.
So over those 40 years, I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about reforming Prop 13, but nothing's come to pass. What are some of the ones that have come closest that you know of?
Right. Well, there actually have been a number of changes to Prop 13 over the years. It's just that the vast majority of those changes have sort of added further restrictions rather than loosening them. And so there have been a ton of changes. They've just kind of made things more restrictive. And so I think the split rule provision that we're talking about here is sort of considered one of the more radical changes and in an area that I think business groups see as kind of a line in the sand. And so that's why I expect if this measure were actually to make the ballot and be on the ballot, you're going to see a really, really, really expensive campaign because this is sort of one of the last stands I think business groups feel that they have against some of the taxation regime in the state.
So what else has your antenna up right now?
Yeah, I think it's interesting with respect to split roll, and I haven't heard proponents give me a good answer for this. And I think it's potentially a really large flaw in their measure. Right now cities have an incentive because of the way that the state's tax structure works to prioritize the development of hotels and also office and retail space because they get to collect more of that tax revenue than they do from residential because property taxes are restricted. Under the split roll, that would exacerbate cities' incentives to permit commercial and hotel lands rather than housing. And so, because they would, again, make more tax revenue off of those projects, and especially now if commercial projects were able to be taxed at their market values. And so, that I think is a real concern, or should be a real concern for those who want to promote housing development across the state. It exacerbates the incentives that already exist for cities to say no to housing.
And then we heard in Liza's piece that the split roll proposal is designed to address a couple issues if it works the way that it's designed. One of those is to raise revenue for public services. But there's another initiative that's out there that would raise revenue in a different way. That would be to hike taxes on millionaires by 1%. How would these approaches compare in reality, actually?
Yeah, I mean, there is probably a limit on which you can tax people without them reacting differently, whether that means they invest fewer dollars in the state or they leave a state entirely. There's a reason why there is some bounds to how much you can tax. And what that boundary is, I think that's what legislators and voters are deciding. But I don't think anyone would reasonably argue that you could tax people on an unlimited basis and get, you know, all the ends that you think you're going to get without some unintended consequences.
So the other aim of the split roll proposal is to help ease the housing crisis by promoting more housing construction. There's a $4 billion bond measure that the legislature and Governor Jerry Brown have put on the ballot. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so that measure is divided up into two parts. The first sort of easy part is $1 billion that's reserved for home loans for veterans. And so that's not involved at all in increasing housing production in any way. But that would provide sort of an ease for veterans to be able to purchase and otherwise get new homes. The lion's share of the measure, though, $3 billion is reserved for helping to finance the development of new housing that's reserved for low-income residents. And so there's been a dramatic drop-off in state funding in recent years in that area. And so that measure would aim to help that.
And then speaking of housing, the California Association of Realtors also has a reform idea that it says would help affordability. That initiative would allow older or disabled homeowners to take a portion of their lowered property tax base, which is part of Prop 13. They could take that lowered property tax base with them when they move. How would that work exactly?
Yeah, so that's an interesting measure. You know, as it stands right now, if older homeowners want to downsize, they can do so. In certain communities or certain counties across the state, where they could sort of sell their home and then transfer their property tax rate that they get on their prior home to their new one, provided that the new home was of lower value. This would extend that and put it at a higher value, and so it would prioritize those who are 55 and older to continue to maintain significant tax protections that they already have under Prop 13.
And that's actually part of the base that supported Prop 13 in the first place and continues to support Prop 13.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's for 40 years now, there's been a longstanding, Prop 13 is the most consequential ballot measure, I think, arguably, that the state has ever passed in terms of how it has changed the state's finances, local government finances, and the incentives that it has created among homeowners and other groups. And so this would certainly sort of add to those restrictions for people that have been supportive of this measure, kind of measure in the past.
That's Liam Dillon. He covers California state politics and policy for the Los Angeles Times. He's based in Sacramento.